Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go.
Welcome, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman. We are taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And I'm so excited, you guys. We just got rated top 1.5% podcast in the world for self-help. And it's you guys, my fans, my listeners, my friends that keep sharing this message that you don't have to be burned out. You don't have to be exhausted and depleted to live a happy life, to live a successful life. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we have an incredible guest. She has been my Facebook friend for 2 years, and I love turning my social media friends into real friends. I am going to welcome my Facebook friend, now real friend, relationship expert, life coach, Risa Gall, to the show. Welcome, Risa.
Thanks, Rebecca. Hey, everyone. Great to be with you today.
I am so glad you're here because you are helping people with an age-old question. I feel like if I had the copyright, I would play the Clash song. Should I stay or should I go now? That is the question. If I stay, there will be trouble, but if I go, it will be double. So come on, Risa, and let us know, should we stay or should we go? So that is the name of the show. Some people are listening to this and you're in a turning point in your relationship. I know when I was about to file for divorce, it took me a year. I was so scared. I was so confused. I loved this man, but I knew it wasn't a healthy relationship. I was told by society that I should want to be married, that that was like status and security, yet the relationship was just breaking my spirit. And it took me having a friend say, I'm so tired of hearing you complain about this relationship. You're not leaving the car until we call a lawyer. We Googled lawyers and we called one, and that's what it took, because I wouldn't have done it. I could not have answered this question that you're going to talk about today, Risa. So We're so happy you're here. I know you're going to give so much clarity to my listeners. I'm going to tell my listeners a little bit about your wonderful background. So Risa is a self-love and relationship coach for women who are struggling with the age-old question, should I stay or should I go? She is passionate about helping women get the clarity they need to make the right decision for them. She's the creator of the program Freedom from Codependency, the Self-Love Solution, and she is a certified Diamond Process Transformational Coach. So Risa, you just said rhymes with Lisa, Risa, how did you get into this type of coaching? Were you ever in a turning point in a relationship and you came up with this paradigm shift or a way to get yourself out? Like, tell us your origin story about how you got into this.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, through my own life experience, I can relate to what you shared. And there's so many women, we all, you know, we're in that place of just not being happy, but, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about how do we get the clarity we need. But yeah, I was married to a man, a very nice man, but he was struggling with alcoholism and depression. And I did not realize how much I was depending on him for that, like you were saying, like that sense of source of love, to be my source of love, security. And you know, until all that happened and I discovered how codependent I was being. But also, you know, I just learned so much, as painful as that was at the time, probably the most painful experience of my life, and then trying to decide what decision to make about that. I'm actually grateful for it now through the coaching support that I got to be able to make the choices that were right for me. And I just learned so much about myself and what it takes to be in a healthy relationship that I'm now certified as a transformational life coach, self-love and relationship coach. So I can help other women really just get the clarity they need to move ahead and be happy no matter what they decide.
So what was the turning point in your relationship where you realized, I've got to get out of this, no matter how scary and painful it is? Because it's really the fear of the unknown that was so scary mm-hmm. for me. What mm-hmm. gave you the strength to make that move?
Yes, I love that question. And, you know, it just got to a point where it was really not workable anymore. Like, it just, you know, it's like looking back, if I had had coaching support sooner, I wouldn't have stayed as long as I stayed. But it just, the situation with the alcohol got so bad. And I finally did ask him to leave. I said, look, you know what, this is just not working anymore for anybody here. So like, you either need to get some help and like go inpatient somewhere, or you need to find another place to live. And so I did, you know, it just got to that point where it was bad enough that I took some action. But then even then, I still was hanging on to that hope for like a couple more years after that. And he was in and out of rehab for like 2 years. And I just finally, like you, I had a coach that I was working with, and she just was like, Risa, you know, it's just not gonna get any better. And, you know, what are you really waiting for? And so that, you know, it really just comes down to fear. And so that was kind of the turning point, was just getting that support and realizing it's just not going to get better. And it's really the most honoring thing I can do for myself, and as well as for everybody else in this situation.
It's so challenging, Risa, because you're like me, you're very sensitive and empathetic, and you know, deep down, the heart of that person, the husband or the friend or whoever it is we need to detach from, is a good person. That's mm-hmm. what was so hard. Like, I saw his heart, and I saw that he wanted to be a kind person and he wanted to do better, but he just couldn't because of, you know, whatever it is, mental illness, disease, addiction. So I think when you see the heart of someone, when you're an empath, it's so hard to leave and turn your back on them. And what really helped me was the Al-Anon family groups. That mm-hmm. really gave me the courage to kind of detach from love and proceed and rebuild my life. Did you ever explore Al-Anon?
Absolutely. They saved my life. I think through that whole experience, I got a lot of support from Al-Anon, and a lot of the, you know, the wisdom that I gleaned from those teachings, I also now use, you know, not only in my own life, but I help other women too. That was vital. And then also the individual coaching support that I got to be able to just release on a deeper level the healing, the codependent patterns that were running in me, so that I could really, really reclaim myself and get, you know, come into better relationship with myself and heal those underlying patterns that caused me to be in that kind of a relationship to begin with.
Yeah. Did you guys have kids?
I do. I have one son who's 23 now. I know that is a complicating factor, especially if they're younger. That is a complicating factor. But I do believe that when we are acting, honoring our own truth and acting in our own best interest for, you know, doing what we need as moms to be healthy and be happy, it does serve everybody's highest good. I do believe that. And, you know, kids, if mom's okay, if mom's happy, the kids are going to be okay too. So it's really, you know, it really serves everybody when we do what we need to do to take care of ourselves.
I agree. You know, one of my good friends got a divorce, and she was feeling a lot of pressure from friends and family to stay in a relationship that was no longer serving her because of the kids. She has two young kids, and she was like, I don't want to set the example for my kids that this is what marriage is, this kind of unhappy, dysfunctional relationship. And she said that she's going to make herself happy. So she has two daughters, so she can show her daughters what happiness really is. And now she just got married, you know, happily again last summer, and it's a totally different style of relationship. So we're going to get to the rebuilding next. But before we even enter a toxic relationship, so we don't end up with the question, should I stay or should I go? What are some red flags that we can look for?
Yeah, so red flags are when you feel like you can't be yourself around somebody, when you end up feeling like not good about who you are when you're, you know, as a result of your interactions with those people, when you feel like you're just kind of losing yourself in the relationship. And, you know, maybe like real toxic relationships, that I have a lot of clients that have had that experience where then they are sort of, you know, trying to isolate. Like, so if you feel like your partner's being possessive or trying to isolate you from your friends, your family, and, you know, it's like we all have our stuff, and people who are narcissistic or, you know, acting in that way, you know, it's like we're all just trying to get the love we need and we want. And so like that's what, you know, that was my experience too, was just we're all kind of looking for love in the wrong place. And so when I finally learned how to give that to myself and be in alignment with my truth and honor who I am and start to love who I am and reclaim myself, my life, my joy, then that's really where the clarity comes from. It's really about us just getting into an alignment with ourselves.
Gosh, I agree. When you leave a date or when you get off the phone or finish texting with someone, if you feel less than, if you feel not good enough, or that person is bringing you down and not lifting you up, if you feel like tired or an energetic drain, that those are signs that this is not a healthy person for you. I think that is a great point. And then also the isolation, like the toxic relationship, the person wanting to take you away from things that bring you joy, like friends and family and self-care. Those are great red flags to look for. Mm-hmm. What is the number one mistake women make when they're trying to get their needs met within a relationship?
Yes, thank you. I love that question, because I think we all kind of do this. It's so easy to get focused on that other person, or that partner, and everything they're doing that's not making us happy. And so the mistake that we make is that we're trying to make them change, right?
Yes.
We're trying to control stuff that we just don't have control over. Would you agree? It's like, you know, I learned that on a very deep level. Like, we really don't have control over other people and the choices they're making and how they're showing up and how they're behaving. However, we always have the power to choose how we want to respond. And so that's what I invite people to do. And I know it's easier said than done. Like, it took me a long time to really, it was like, okay, can we just for now get the focus off that person, off everything that's not working, get your focus just back on yourself, take a breath, take a step back just for now. Just if you can set it all down, and, you know, because we're not going to solve the problem by trying to wrestle it to the ground, and we're not going to solve the problem from the same mindset that got us into it in the first place. So it's really, that is the first step, is just getting the focus back on ourselves and just focusing on, what do I need to do to take care of myself in this situation? Just self-care. And so, but the problem where when we try and control things we don't have control over, that's kind of my definition of suffering. Like that was my experience, you know, after trying for years and years and years, it's like banging your head against a brick wall and finally realizing, like, wow, you know, just admitting, like, I don't have the power to change anyone else, but I just need to choose how I want to respond. How do I want to show up for me in this? What do I need to do to take care of myself in this situation?
I think that's great advice, because when we try to control what we have no power over, it literally, it's so defeating and debilitating and exhausting, and we can't make anyone do anything. Like, people are going to do what they're going to do, and we either accept it and say, this is a person that I can, you know, accept them, like, warts and all, or reject them. And one of my favorite relationship mentors, Pat Allen, Dr. Pat Allen, she said, ask yourself, are they 51% valuable? Because everybody has, like, quirks and character flaws and everything. If they're 51% valuable, it's okay to accept some of their quirkiness. But if it goes below 50% and they're causing you way more trouble and pain and problems than pleasure and fun and happiness, then you just got to cut your losses and go. And it is so hard for me, being like an overachiever, like admitting defeat, not only in being powerless over someone, but not having a successful marriage. It was very, just gave me a lot of humility. And I just had to make the decision, if I never end up in another relationship and God wants me to be alone, I would rather be alone than with somebody who is not kind to me. And like you said about choosing yourself first and honoring yourself first, that's ultimately what I had to do. And it's so funny when you truly let go and you're truly like, I'm just good being alone. Like, I literally wrap myself into a pretzel to try to, like, meet society standards of marriage and kids and all that. And I'm like, okay, I almost, like, lost my soul. So I'm just good, like, just being a happy human and just, you know, doing my seven pillars, my workouts, my friends, my businesses, and I'm good. And then it's when I truly surrendered that my soulmate, Ben, came into my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, there's, we can get all caught up in society's expectations and other people, worrying about what other people are going to think. And, you know, it's like, what's my definition of success? If I'm happy, you know, and being with someone isn't necessarily better than being with no one, if that someone is detracting from the quality of your life. But, like, that's even, you know, like, where my focus is now and what I help a lot of women with now too, is just even before making a choice to enter into a relationship, like, I always say, unless you're in right relationship with yourself, no relationship's ever going to be right, because nobody can do that for you. It's like, it's our own alignment that is what we need in order to be happy. So if we're looking for other people to fill some void, to make us happy, then we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And and so that's really one of the keys for the healthy relationship, is that we have to approach it not from a place of, what do I need to get from you in order to, for me to be happy and feel complete and you know, be okay. It's, I always say, like, you're the cake and your relationship's the icing on the cake. So, but we need to have our cake first, and we can have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I love it. And as long as it's a gluten-free vegan cake, because I'm from LA. I'm just kidding. So I do
vegan, gluten-free. I'm on board with that.
Okay. So what to you is the difference between codependency and interdependency?
Oh my goodness. So I think, you know, I love that question. So I think that's really that, that is the underlying thing with the codependency, is that we're just looking to other people for love and approval. That's my definition of codependency. I sort of, you know, it's not a clinical perspective. It is a really, I think it's cultural. Like, it's sort of, I call it normalized codependency. So we're really kind of taught, you know, you need this other person to complete you, two halves, you know, two halves don't make a whole. And so that's it. That question that we just said is like, if you're coming into it from a place of need, you know, you want to come to a place from a place of like, what do I have to offer? What do I have to give, from feeling like whole and resourced from within yourself, and not, happy with your own life, happy with who you are. And so then you can meet someone, you know, from that whole place, and you'll attract someone else who's in that same place. Cause you know how that goes. We attract from where we're at. And so if I am coming from a really just happy whole place within myself, then those are the kind of people that I'm going to attract. But if I'm feeling like I need, like that, you know, coming from that needy place, then I'm going to attract someone else who's needy. That's, you know, that was my story.
Yes.
But healthy interdependence, two people feeling whole in themselves, you know, coming together, and healthy interdependence. Yeah, of course, we all want to be loved. We all want to, you know, feel needed. But there's a difference of wanting it and having it be like that icing on your cake, or coming to it from a place of I need it. Like I'm not really feeling like I've got both my feet firmly on the ground unless I have that. And then it's not very stable. So yeah. And there's going to be times where, yeah, I'm going to need to lean on you and you're going to need to lean on me. We, you know, that's part of the beauty of being in a nice, you know, loving, supportive relationship, is that we don't have to be perfect, and we're not going to always all have it all together. But in general, we want to feel like we're not needing that other person to be our source. I would say your partner's not your source. And, you know, for me, just whatever that, you know, your understanding is about that, but I feel like if we can feel like we have a connection with a higher power, or we're being, you know, we can feel secure, we're being, you know, we feel secure, we feel safe in life in general, then we're not needing to latch on to other people just to have that sort of sense of security in life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you talk a lot about self-love. You have a program, Freedom from Codependency, the Self-Love Solution. What are some actions that our listeners can start taking today or this week to enhance their relationship with self and start feeling that self-love?
You know what, a really good place to start, Rebecca, is if we can just spend some quiet time by ourselves. And, you know, because we're always so busy. And I think a lot of times we like to keep ourselves distracted because we're afraid to feel. And I mean, I can totally relate there. I know there was a time where I had a really hard time just sitting and being still with myself because I didn't like who I was and I didn't want to feel how I felt. And so, but that this is like, you know, kind of where the coaching support comes into, but a good place to start, like if you can just take some time by yourself, and maybe like, I love to be in nature, just to, you know, whatever brings you joy, like find something to, you know, we all need some way to sort of calm down our minds and just connect with ourselves. And then of course, you know, there's tools and support we can get to have tools to be able to process our emotions and really get to the root of the unconscious patterns that, you know, we all develop these patterns in childhood that really are kind of running the show, which is where the coaching support comes in too. But for now, I say like, just, you know, self-care. What do you need to do to take care of yourself today? Take some quiet time to be in contemplation and just to enjoy. Like if you can just do something that makes you feel good, that brings you joy, then that's a really good place to start.
What if somebody doesn't even know like what brings them joy because they're so enmeshed with this other person? And they think that their joy depends on this other person's validation. How would you help them like disentangle themselves so they even know what giving themselves self-love or joy feels like?
Yes, thank you for asking that, because that's really common too, is that it's been so long since I even thought about myself. I don't even know what makes me happy anymore. And maybe like for me too, like I completely lost myself in that whole situation. So it really was what we were saying before. It's like, you can just take a breath and just kind of see if you can just get your focus back on yourself, which I know it's easier said than done, because when we're so much needing, looking for that from that other person. But even just to come back and to just do a simple breathing exercise, like we got to get out of our head. We got to come back into our body, into our breath. I teach Qigong, ancient Chinese healing exercises, and I do it from a place of self-love. But just like that's one of the tools is, you know, these patterns, they're sort of running, we're in our head. The story, we call it the story. It's not the truth of who you are. So we got to, you know, we could just come back to our body, come back to our breath. You might just put your hands on your heart and breathe and just drop into your heart and know wherever you're at right now, however you're feeling, it's okay. And just be, you know, just be gentle with yourself and almost like if you can just sit with yourself as if you were sitting with an upset child, but you're the loving parent and just, you know, just sit and hold yourself, however you feel, it's okay. And just sit with yourself in some compassion and maybe just start to be open and curious. Sometimes I have my clients create what I call a menu of fun. It's like, I don't remember what I even like. It's like, well, what did you like when you're a kid? Or just, you know, what would make you feel good? Do you like to be outside? Do you like, you know, maybe even just taking like hot baths or, you know, whatever it is. And I know like that can be really superficial stuff too, but it's not a bad place to start. It's like just finding something that you can do for yourself that doesn't involve your partner, doesn't involve anyone else. How can I just come back to myself, come back into my body, come back to my heart, and find something to think about that doesn't suck and do something that just makes me feel good?
Yeah. For me, going through my divorce and disentanglement, it was definitely exercise. And walking my dog, like you said, nature, that really helped me like kind of come back to myself. And I've also have a morning practice. But yeah, just hot baths, simple things, even like reorganizing a drawer or a closet, purging, create self-love. Those are some great ideas. Breath work, like you said, yoga is so healing and helps you get back into your body. There are just so many ways to take the focus, or as they say on Al-Anon, you know, put down the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror, like stop focusing on that person and start reflecting back onto yourself. Now, we talked a lot about when to go. The question of this podcast is, should I stay or should I go? When should somebody stay in a relationship? When is it worth fighting for? Maybe there was infidelity or verbal abuse. Who knows? What would be a reason to stay and fight in a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that. So I have what I call my relationship clarity process that I take my clients through. And really what it is, Rebecca, you know, it's like a relationship. It's like a dance. Right. And it's probably not so fun right now if you're in that question of whether or not you want to stay. So what do we got to do? Everything we're talking about, it's, you know, we don't have control over that other person. Get to focus back on ourselves. And we start to get in better alignment with who we are. We start to show up differently, feeling more resourced from within ourselves. Because it's really not even about the relationship. It's not even about the other person. It's about us and our relationship with ourselves. So the only way you're going to find real clarity is by first getting into alignment with yourself, honoring how you feel, getting clear on, well, you know, what do I like about this person? What, you know, what's missing for me? You deserve to have somebody who cares about you, who cares about how you feel, who's loving, who's supportive. You know, the things that the most common things that I hear from women who are unhappy in the relationships are just the sense of disconnection, the emotional disconnection. And I certainly could relate to that, and the communication. And those two things are actually skills that most of us are not taught how to maintain loving, intimate relationships over a lot of years. But you know what, and even if there's been infidelity, as difficult a situation as that is, it really just comes down to, if you just ask yourself, what's my motivation? I ask myself that a lot in that situation. What's my motivation for wanting to stay? Am I just afraid? Do I really still feel some love for this person? Do I see some potential? And getting clear on, like, what's working, what's not working, and are those things that are changeable? If it's disconnection, if it's communication, those are things that can actually be improved. As long as both people have a genuine desire to lean in and to want to see if they can make the relationship improve. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like we look at our expectations. We should expect someone who we can, you know, has our back. It's a loving, supportive relationship. You feel like you have each other's back. Someone who's being honest with you, who you can trust. And, you know, everyone's just kind of showing up and doing the best that they can, but just know that you do deserve that. You deserve to have that kind of loving, supportive relationship. And, but that's really the kind of the bottom line. It's like, what's my motivation for staying, or what's my motivation for leaving? Because you don't want to leave out of an emotional reaction to what someone's doing either. You know, if I did that, I could have left a thousand times before then, but then I was very clear. I don't want to leave out of a reaction, because then that feels like I'm giving away my power. It's like, all right, well then you behave one way, then that makes my decision for me, or you behave a different way. So for me, it's, I always tell people, you don't want to make decisions out of an emotional reaction or from a place of fog, FOG, fear, obligation, or guilt. Easier said than done, I know. But so it's like, what's my motivation for staying, or what's my motivation for leaving? And if you still feel like there's potential, there's still a lot of good qualities about this person. Sometimes women, once they start to do this inner work, to unwind the patterns that are maybe usually are at the root of the challenges, sometimes they find, like, you know what, it's really not what he's doing. It's not unworkable, you know, and maybe we probably need to up-level our communication skills and learn how to ask for what we need. And so, you know, so I've had
that. Sorry to interrupt you. What are some good hacks or some good tips for better communication? Because you said the number one reason that people want to leave is they feel disconnected. So how can people feel more connected and ask for their needs to get met in a healthy, but not a codependent way? Do you have any like verbiage or any techniques you want to share?
Yeah. So we could do a whole training on that, but just as far as communication, we need to, I think that, you know, the important thing is first that we want to come to it from a calm, centered place. Because if you're trying to enter into a conversation with someone and your buttons are already pushed and you're all activated, that it's going to get their defenses up. So that's the first thing, is like, someone, you know, they do something, they say something, it triggers you. It's like, okay, then pause, step away. You can say something like, you know what, I feel like I'm getting upset right now. I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation and just take some time. I'm going to take a time out for myself, and we can come back around to it when I'm feeling more calm. And so, you know, I would just say, just stop if it's escalating, or if someone comes at you and they're angry or whatever, say, oh, wow, you know, I see, it looks like you're really angry about that. So, and maybe they're talking, yelling at you or talking to you in a way that's disrespectful. You don't have to accept unacceptable behaviors. So then it could look like something like, you know, just acknowledging, yeah, I see, it looks like you're really upset right now, and I'll be happy to, you know, but how you're speaking to me right now, it's not okay. And so I'm happy to talk to you about it when you're ready to talk to me calmly and respectfully. So I'm going to excuse myself, and we can come back around to it when you're feeling more calm.
There you go. Uh-huh. do not need to engage with people when we're angry or emotional, because that's when at least I say things that I don't want to say. And I really want to come from love. To me, God is love. And when I am communicating from a not center place, and I'm not communicating in a loving way. So taking that pause, you know, and somebody told me, wait 72 hours. Like if you're really emotional about something, like wait 72 hours, usually in 3 days, we calm down, and then come back and have an intention to come to someone in love, not to be right. You know, I think so many relationships suffer because people want to be right. And one of my first coaches is like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know, you can be right and be alone. You could be dead right and not even be on the planet. Or do you want to be in connection? So I think when I put my ego in my back pocket and give up the need to be right, that I can communicate with love. And the marriage that I'm in now, you know, we don't even have to worry about that kind of stuff because we are both coming from a loving place. And it's just amazing. Like you said, when you do the inner work and you change who you are, you attract a different type of person. And I like to say, you don't attract who you want, you attract who you are. So how can people stay in touch with you? I know you have a really cool event coming up that we're going to talk about, and I'm sure people are going to want to find you online so you can continue giving your wonderful clarity about relationship and codependency. So where can people find you?
Yes. So I know we're going to drop a link into the comments or the show notes, but I want to invite you, if you are in that place where you're struggling with the question of whether or not to stay in your relationship, or, you know, maybe you're trying to figure out if you can make it work, or you really don't think it's going to, but you're still feeling kind of stuck, then I want to invite you to come to my free 3-day training. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. It's the 3 keys to get the love you want, September 12th through the 14th. We're going to talk about how do you get to that place of clarity. We're going to take a deeper dive into this relationship clarity process. What does that really look like? How do you get to that place of real clarity so that you can make the decision that's right for you and be able to move ahead confidently without any second guessing or any regrets? And we're going to talk about how do you free yourself from the deeper patterns that we all create. You know, we all develop in childhood these unconscious patterns that really are at the root of our challenges. So how do we become first aware of those, and how do we release those so that we can bring our best selves to the relationship, our most aligned, loving selves, to not only get the clarity we need, but then how do we also create the secrets to create healthy, fulfilling relationships that last? And so it's going to be just an hour each day, but it's going to be very rich, really transformational experience, so that you can come out with some concrete tools, some actionable steps to really help you get happier now, feel more in alignment with yourself, to change the way that you're showing up right now inside your relationship. Because it's not just about getting the clarity you need. It's about who you get to become in the process and how you're showing up for you and how you're showing up in that relationship. So it's going to be a beautiful, free 3-day event. I'd love to be able to support you further with that. And we do also have we have a private Facebook group, which I know you'll drop the link in for that too. It's Should I Stay or Should I Go? Relationship Support for Women.
Perfect. Perfect name for a Facebook group. I love it. And then where can they find you on social? Do you have a website?
So the best place is really on Facebook. And it's facebook.com/honoryourheart.
Oh, Honor Your Heart. I love your names on Facebook. Well, your energy, Risa, you're just so calm and loving. And I can tell you've done the work on yourself. And that's why you've attracted this wonderful community of women that you're so wonderfully serving. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you everyone who's listening on Instagram, Facebook. If you're listening on a podcast platform, take a screenshot, tag me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman. I will reshare and give you a shout out. I know we all know someone who could benefit by this message today. We all know someone who is not in a healthy relationship, that is maybe on a turning point, and share this podcast. It's really easy. Just copy and paste the link, share it with someone. It might just change their life. And that is how this podcast continues to grow. So if you could take 30 seconds out of your day and subscribe and give it a 5-star review, it would mean the world to me. Thank you everyone for listening to another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again next week, keep your vibe high and magnetize. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I am hosting a weekly women's circle on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, where you get to experience my coaching for free. It is open and it is amazing for accountability, support, and community. All you have to do is go to the link in bio to reserve your spot, and I can't wait to meet you on a live Zoom call. I also am having an amazing summer promotion called the 5-Day Drop. Lose 5 pounds in 5 days, guaranteed. It's a great way to detox your body. It's a metabolism reset, and it will help you feel balanced, beautiful, and abundant all summer long. So make sure you go to the link in my bio to learn about the 5-Day Drop. I am so appreciative of you listening to my show. The best compliment you could ever pay me is to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend, because I know you know other people who want to go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye.